This morning, continue talking about the things which lead to success and prosperity in ultimate sense. They're called the highest blessings. Today we continue on with karavo, which is translated as respect or homage or something like that. So today we talk about respect for the practice of appamada. Appamada is a difficult word to translate to English, although the meaning is clear. Appamada means negligence. So appamada means the opposite of negligence or non-negligent. We translate it as vigilance or diligence or heedfulness. The meaning of appamada is that we should be mindful at all times. Not only be mindful at all times, altogether four things. We should be free from anger or ill will towards other beings. We should be always mindful. We should be equanimous or level-headed. It means our mind should be unmoved by good things or things which arise. And we should stay equanimous in the face of whatever might arise. Composed, and our minds be composed with whatever arises. When good things arise and we might instead get greedy or attached to them, instead we set ourselves on being mindful and don't let greed come and take over our minds. And when anger might arise, when we see or hear or smell how bad things arise, instead of letting anger arise, we be mindful. It means to be internally composed or level-headed, balanced in the face of the thing around us. And to train ourselves to become free from craving. This is what the Lord Buddha called appamada, or vigilance, or heedfulness. So respect for this means that we should practice respecting Lord Buddha's teaching on appamada. It was in fact the last words of the Lord Buddha before he passed away. Vaya dhamma sankara appamadena sampadita. Everything which arises is of the nature to pass away. So for this reason we should strive on, work hard to fulfill the teaching of appamada, fulfill the teaching of vigilance. So when we practice meditation, we should not think that there is also some occasion for taking a vacation from our practice. But maybe in the morning we practice, but in the afternoon we let our minds wander and fall into greed or fall into anger. We should work hard to cut off the wandering mind. Cut off the mind which attaches to external objects or internal objects. Just like the simile yesterday of the man carrying a pot of oil. This is the respect. I've already talked before about apamada, so today I just talked briefly about it in this one. But to give another story, to talk about apamada, Angulimala, the most negligent person, the most evil person that existed in the time of the Lord Buddha. He killed altogether 999 people. His plan was to kill 1,000 people. And his plan was to kill his mother, who was would be the 1,000th victim. And the Lord Buddha knew that this was going to happen, and of course if he killed his mother he would never have a chance to become free from suffering in this life. So the Lord Buddha went to visit Angulimala, and so many people protested. Saying that if he went to see Angulimala, he would instead be the victim. And in the end, Angulimala became a student of the Lord Buddha. He became a monk, cut off his hair and beard, put on the orange robes, and in the end became an arahant. And the Lord Buddha said, Yo pube pamachitva pachaso na pamachiti. So manglokang papasiti abhamutova chantima. It means, though in the past someone was negligent, later on they're no longer negligent. When later on they become someone who is not negligent, they light up the whole world, just like the moon which lights up the world when it comes up from behind a cloud. So this is the teaching on apamada. It means we should always be mindful. We should not be negligent in our practice or negligent in our training of our minds. We should work very hard to fight against our natural tendencies to greed or to anger, so that we can develop the tendency to not be greedy, to not be angry. The last one in the series on respect is respect for hospitality. That we should receive guests. We should be able to receive other people. Now, receiving other people is in two ways. One, we should be ready to receive other people in terms of giving them objects that they might need. Food and shelter and clothing and medicine. But also receive hospitality in terms of giving guests or visitors, giving them the Dhamma. We should always remember that whenever people come to visit us, what we can give to them is two things. We can give them items that they might need, and we can give them the Dhamma. Giving them the Dhamma doesn't mean we should sit around and talk with them or try to teach them this or teach them that. It means we have to encourage them to go and practice, encourage them to carry out the practice of vipassana meditation. In fact, this is an important point in receiving visitors. We have to be careful not to think that we have to find out all sorts of information about them or sit around and talk with them for a long time, visit with them. When visitors come, we have to encourage them quickly to go and practice, because they don't have so much time and we also don't have so much time. We don't know when is going to be the end of our time here. No one knows whether death will come tomorrow. We waste our time talking or visiting. This is not the way to receive guests, receive people who come to us, whoever, wherever we go, when we go home or when we stay here. We have to receive guests by putting them to practice right away, giving them the opportunity to practice, not wasting their time with visiting or chatting or so on. Give them the things that they need to practice, and then give them the means, teach them how to practice. And once they know how to practice, then send them off right away to practice. More time we have for them to practice, then we can really be said to have been hospitable in the highest sense. And this is the end of respecting, having respect. All in all, we have to have a respectful attitude towards these six things: the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, the training, and not being negligent, and in receiving guests. Next we go on, the next blessing is Nivatocha. Nivatocha means something like humility. Literally means to not be puffed up, to not be full of hot air, to not be full of oneself, to not think highly of oneself and put other people down, or even not to think low of oneself. It means not to hold on to oneself, not to hold on to the idea of self that I am this, I am that, this is me, that is me, me, this is mine, this is under my control. Nivatocha means to be humble. Like Sariputta. Sariputta is a very good example of humility. Sariputta likened himself to an outcast. In the time of the Buddha, there were people who were outcast from Hindu society, and they had to hit a stick against the ground. They had to carry a walking stick and beat it against the ground to make noise wherever they went, so that the higher class people, the Brahmins and the Kattiyas and the other classes, would know that they were coming and would be able to avoid their touch. And Sariputta likened himself to one of these people. He said, as far as how I look at myself, it's the same. That I am some low class or outcast person. Because it happened that when he was walking by a young monk, his robe touched the the monk as he was walking. And the monk spread it around that Sariputta had hit him. Sariputta had hit this monk. And so Sariputta said, for someone who is attached to themselves, then maybe they could commit such a deed. But for me, he said, I am like an outcast. Or he said, I am like the earth. If you... people may do what they want to the earth, but the earth never complains. If we want to be truly humble, we have to be like the earth. The Lord Buddha said, we have to be like the water, we have to be like the air, we have to be like the earth. Like the air is, means, because like anyone can come and write on the earth or attack the air, can come and attack the air and write in the air and so on, and nothing stays. Just in the same way, someone who is humble, whether someone says bad things to them or does bad things to them, it doesn't stay with the person who is humble, who is not attached to self. They see that these things are only body and mind, or sound or sight or smell or taste or feelings or thoughts. And they come and they go. And one doesn't hold on to them. And one should be like the water in the same way that when you write on the water or when you... people can urinate in the water or defecate in the water or throw things in the water and the water never complains. Water accepts it all. People write on the water, or cut the water, or hit the water, and never complain. And the same with the earth. People do what they want with the earth. They dig the earth, they cut the earth, they spoil the earth, and the earth never complains. And Buddha said, this is how we should be. This is the teaching of Nivatamucha. Very important for meditators. We have to learn to let go of ourselves. Not always to think about the bad things that people did to us. No matter what they did to us. They didn't do it to anyone. No one did anything. These things come and go. They arise and cease. We have to let go. Let go in the mind. These were only things that happened in the past. They happened because of causes and conditions. All that's left now is our own thought about these things. And we just let go of our own thought. And we don't go back to it at all. Next we have santuti. Santuti means contentment. And this is a great blessing. But in Buddhism, we need to have both santuti and asantuti. Both of them have been praised by the Buddha. Contentment and discontent have both been praised by the Buddha. Contentment means we have to be content with whatever requisites we have. Whatever clothing we have, we have to be content with it. This is why monks and nuns, they wear rag robes. They wear robes made of pieces of cloth stitched together. Content with whatever clothing they get. Content with food, we have to be content with whatever alms food we get. Content with shelter, whatever lodging we get, we have to be content, not worrying that it's too hot or too cold or too noisy or this or that, too small. We should be content with whatever lodging we have and content with what medicines we have, not to worry about finding this medicine or that medicine, that we should be content to take whatever medicine we get. Meaning not to be worried about sicknesses which might arise in the body, always trying to fix the body with this or that medicine. But asantuti means we have to be discontent. Discontent means discontent with the whatever level of attainment which we have gained in the practice. We have to always think to ourselves that there is a higher state which we have to yet to gain. That though we have heard or we know about the attainment of arahant, the attainment of freedom from suffering, we still haven't reached the attainment of freedom from suffering. We still have greed, we still have anger, we still have delusion, and these things can still arise in the future. If we're not careful, they will come back again and again to haunt us. And so we should not be content with the level of practice which we have attained. We should never rest content. This is one thing we should never be content with. This is the Lord Buddha's teaching. If we rest content with the spiritual attainment we have, it's most likely that more bad and evil states will come into our hearts. This is being negligent, neglecting our duties. And so more greed and anger and delusion will arise and cover over our minds again. We should not be content with a small attainment, not even be content with, in the scriptures they say, not even, the Lord Buddha said, not even be content with anagami. Even though we've cut off greed and anger, we should not be content with that until we have cut off delusion. This is the teaching on santuti. Next we have katanyuta and kalayana dhamma savanam. I think I'll save those for tomorrow. Time for morning chanting. Please continue to practice or this morning. I guess we have an ordination. Congratulations. So you can go ahead, they'll probably start chanting now.